You're tuned to WFHB.
Volunteer powered.
Listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community and supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM, reporting live for WFHB. This is Carolyn Vanderweel.
And I'm Benedict Jones. This is the Daily Local News for Thursday, November 1st, 2018.
There's plenty of acres that are within the National Forest that are not draining to Lake Monroe. And so the question is, why can't they conduct this harvest there?
Federal authorities are considering logging thousands of acres of the Hoosier National Forest. WFHB correspondent Annie Aguiar speaks with Indiana Forest Alliance Director Jeff Stant on the possible effects of logging and clear-cutting the state's only national forest. That's in today's feature report.
Also coming up in the next half hour, our weekly public opinion feature, Voices in the Street, asks area residents and listeners what they think of President Donald Trump's push to change so-called birthright citizenship laws. That's coming up later in the program, but first, your daily headlines.
President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, and former President Barack Obama are all expected to be in Indiana this weekend. As WFHB correspondent Gabe Donnelly reports, the prominent national figures are in Indiana to campaign for their party's Senate candidates.
President Donald Trump and former President Barack Obama will be in Indiana this weekend. The sitting Republican president and former Democratic president are scheduled to hold rallies supporting their party's respective Senate candidates. Incumbent Indiana Senator Joe Donnelly is up for re-election on Tuesday. Former President Barack Obama will stump for Donnelly in Gary, Indiana on Sunday. Meanwhile, President Trump is scheduled to appear at a rally tomorrow night in Southport. The sitting president is supporting Senate Republican candidate Mike Braun. Trump will be joined in Southport by former Indiana Governor and current Vice President Mike Pence. Trump is also scheduled to appear at a rally in Fort Wayne on Monday, November 5th, the day before the election. The race for Indiana Senate seat is considered highly competitive by many experts. Tuesday's midterm election could determine which party controls the Senate. Republicans currently have the majority in the U.S. Senate with 51 seats. Democrats have 49 seats, including two independent members, Bernie Sanders of Vermont and Angus King of Maine. In order for Democrats to take the majority in the Senate, they would likely need to win at least 6 of 8 highly competitive races this Tuesday. Democrats currently control Indiana, Florida, North Dakota, and Missouri in the competitive races. Republican Senate candidates currently hold Arizona, Nevada, Tennessee, and Texas. Statistics and analytics website 538 predicts that Democrats will take control of the House of Representatives and Republicans will hold the Senate. For Andrew McKeon and WFHB, I'm Gabe Donnelly.
A Northern Indiana representative's brother has been slain while on a missionary trip in Cameroon. WFHB correspondent Rasha Kamhawi brings us that report.
An Elkhart representative's brother was shot to death in Cameroon on Tuesday. Vice President Mike Pence and Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb issued statements expressing their condolences. Elkhart representative Tim Wesco's brother was killed while on a missionary trip in northwestern Cameroon. The Cameroon defense minister said it was likely Wesco was killed in a crossfire between government forces and separatists. Pence called Charles Truman Wesco a, quote, pillar of Indiana's community, unquote. Pence also said he will be praying for Wesco's wife and 8 children. Wesco had been in the northwest region of the Central African country with his wife and children for nearly 2 weeks before he was killed. The U.S. Embassy in Cameroon warns Americans against traveling to Cameroon's northwest and southwest regions, where separatists are fighting for independence. For WFHB, I'm Rasha Kamhawi.
The state of Indiana is moving ahead with plans to remove two dams. The state's Department of Natural Resources approved a $1.2 million grant to remove the Lowhead dams and create river enhancement projects on Monday. State DNR will remove a Lowhead dam along the Elkhart River in northern Indiana's Elkhart County and another Lowhead dam in southern Indiana's Harrison County near Corydon. The DNR says removing dams that serve no current purpose improves stream habitat, boosts biological diversity, and improves river safety for boaters, paddlers, anglers, and swimmers. Lowhead dams are particularly dangerous. The dam's structure creates a hydraulic pull downstream, which can hold victims underwater until they drown. The DNR's allocation comes amidst a nationwide push to get rid of unused Lowhead dams because of their danger.
Indiana-based companies are reporting third-quarter gains. Indianapolis-based Allison Transmissions reported a third-quarter profit of $167 million on Monday. Cummins Incorporated, based in Columbus, Indiana, is reporting a third-quarter profit of nearly $700 million. AP reports the engine maker stock bumped up a quarter on Tuesday. Jasper, Indiana-based German-American bank, also had a good 3 months. The publicly traded financial institution reported a net income of over $12 million this week. The state's largest Fortune 500 company, Eli Lilly, will not post earnings until next week. The pharmaceutical giant has seen a 28% increase in shares so far this year.
The Bloomington City Council approved the city's first sustainability action plan last night. The plan includes goals covering 8 focus areas, which include climate change, energy, transportation, local food, and waste and water. The new plan was lauded by city council members. The city's assistant director of sustainability, Autumn Salamnak, said the plan was created with direct input from the community. In their 4-hour meeting, the city council went on to approve 3 bonds that together would fund $10 million in parks projects. The bonds will be paid for through a property tax increase. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Benedict Jones.
And I'm Carolyn Vandeweel. Support for WFHB is provided by attorneys Eric Slotograph and Ben Neoff. Slotograph Neoff is located at 200 East 3rd Street in downtown Bloomington, assisting families and small businesses in meeting the legal challenges of life, providing estate planning and wills, as well as family law services. More information is available at 812-332-6000 or online at slotographlegal.com. Slotograph Neoff, law for business, community, and life.
The U.S. Forest Service announced plans this week to log some 4,000 acres of the Hoosier National Forest. As WFHB correspondent Annie Aguiar reports, the logging would include over 400 acres of clearcutting south of Lake Monroe.
The cutting will affect areas of the forest south of the Charles C. Deem Wilderness Area, mostly in Jackson County, with some in Lawrence County. The project, named Houston South, was first detailed in a 2006 plan after a 5-year development period that included public comment. Mike Chavius, the supervisor of Hoosier National Forest, held a meeting at the Monroe County Public Library last week to discuss the project. The U.S. Forest Service, which is in charge of the Hoosier National Forest, says the cutting is necessary to create better conditions for some trees, like non-shade-tolerant oaks, who have to compete with other trees in the forest. Another benefit is that it will create habitat diversity, with the clear cutting leaving behind areas of brush and small plants necessary for some Indiana wildlife populations in decline. Jeff Stant, executive director of the Indiana Forest Alliance, disagrees.
We believe it's detrimental to water quality and that the forest, particularly if you let it grow older, will create this early successional habitat that they're talking about. It might be 1 or 2 trees at a time as trees fall from wind and insects and disease and knock over other trees and create what are called patch openings. But that's a more natural kind of early succession habitat that's not as harmful to the forest ecosystem.
Part of Stant's concern is the clear cutting. While he isn't saying that there shouldn't be any cutting at all, he says that logging should mimic the way the forest would naturally develop over time. Clear cutting doesn't do that.
When you cut in an even-aged manner like this, where you cut everything down over a whole valley or slope, this isn't the way a natural forest system works. They never did work that way in our hardwood forest system. The system wasn't driven naturally by fire. You don't have whole areas being denuded down to dirt like that naturally. And so we think that logging should try to mimic the natural systems that are out there if it's going to be done on public forest land.
Another concern is the age of the forest. Cutting down trees before their time can be harmful to the overall ecosystem.
The forests, unlike what the government is saying, are more young than old. And so going in there to clear-cut areas knocks back the forest age and continues to keep more of the forest artificially young. The ecosystem is at its most resilient, healthy condition when it's in an old-growth, all-aged system and structure. So you have a diversity of species and you have a diversity of age classes and structure that comes only with age in our forests. So we're concerned that the government is cutting these forests down before an appreciable amount of them can regain the old growth condition.
Some of the trees in the planned cutting area were planted in the 1930s and 40s by members of the Civilian Conservation Corps, a public work relief program created by President Franklin D. Roosevelt as part of the New Deal. Since the trees are pines, which aren't native to Indiana, they will be cut down. A year ago, public outcry surrounding logging of the Yellowwood Forest backcountry area in Brown County wasn't enough to prevent the harvesting of nearly 1,700 trees. Protesters, hundreds of calls, and an independent bid to buy the area to prevent the logging from taking place didn't save the 299-acre area from being logged. Around 50 people attended last week's meeting at the Monroe County Public Library, where Chavez addressed concerns about water quality. While the Houston South area doesn't physically touch Lake Monroe, it is within the lake's watershed area. That could be a problem for Lake Monroe, one of the largest sources of the local water supply, as Stant explains.
That water supply, the Lake Monroe, is the most important surface water supply in all of southern Indiana. You know, 120,000 people currently rely on it, and projections are for far greater numbers of people to rely on it in the future as the Bloomington community and Indiana University grows. Scientists who measure the water quality in Lake Monroe are already reporting a pretty high sediment load in the waters of Lake Monroe. So the concern is that when you do a lot of logging on steep slopes, which are proposed to be logged in this cut, you're going to increase the sediments running off into the waters that drain into the South Fork that in turn drains directly into Lake Monroe and make it a more expensive proposition to treat that water for human consumption. You know, along with the increased sediments, you get increased nutrients in that water, and that can lead to algal blooms and toxic algae in the water and just a eutrophication of the lake, which can ruin the entire public water supply.
Stantz says that the Forest Service should refocus their efforts to different areas that couldn't potentially affect the lake.
There's plenty of acres that are within the national forest that are not draining to Lake Monroe. And so the question is, why can't they conduct this harvest there? Why not be conservative, given the concern over the sediment loads in Lake Monroe, and do the cutting not on lands that are draining directly into Lake Monroe, particularly when it's quite possible to do that?
Chavez said at the meeting that the Forest Service has more responsibilities than just conservation. He then went on to describe how timber harvesting helps the local economy. Hoosier National Forest is part of the National Forest System, which suffered a budget cut of over $170 million this fiscal year. Stant says that the economic benefits of logging the Hoosier National Forest aren't significant enough to factor into this decision.
Even the Forest Service's own budget to Congress state that they're generating five times as many jobs through the recreation industry around Eastern National Forest as they are through logging.
He says maintaining the area for recreation is more beneficial economically and ecologically.
Particularly when it comes to a state like Indiana, where the only deep forest land is in the national forest, where the only wilderness recreation opportunities are there. It's not like you can go off onto the private timber base and camp out wilderness style. Those are lands you're not supposed to trespass on. And so when you've got only these acres, these limited acres that comprise 10% of all the woodland state in a state with 6,700,000 people, I would argue that wilderness recreation and the economies it creates from that recreation on the national forest is far more important economically and ecologically than timbering is. So logging on the Hoosier National Forest does not produce nearly as many jobs or have the potential to produce nearly as many jobs as managing those National Forest acres for recreation.
The project still has a ways to go. The Indiana Forest Alliance will be working to try to convince the Forest Service to change some of its plans via public comment before cutting begins.
Our plans are to comment on the proposals as it takes shape and to raise these concerns I've been talking to you about and urge others in the public to comment, to disseminate information to the rest of the public about it. There's a long-distance trail. The Fork Trail is in there. I think there's a part of another trail that's in there. We want to make sure that hikers and backpackers and horseback riders use those trails, are made aware of this logging plan. We plan to be involved thoroughly in the commenting on this plan and are happy that, unlike the state forest, with the Hoosier National Forest, they have to comply with a law that requires the public comment period to be held and requires the agency to genuinely consider that comment and develop alternatives based on it and explain why they choose the alternative that they choose under the law. So we intend to fully engage with the U.S. Forest Service on these logging plans and try to convince them to either move the plans entirely to another location or dramatically cut down on the scale of the logging in the plan.
The next stage of the project's development will be experts studying the land to determine the best areas for cutting and which shouldn't be included due to erosion and other issues. For WFHB, I'm Annie Aguiar.
Support for WFHB comes from listeners like you and from the IU Health Foundation, where local gifts stay local, serving patients for a healthier Bloomington. Support also comes from MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
Wireless services provider AT&T will need the City of Bloomington's approval before attaching small cell facilities on municipal structures. Public Works Director Adam Wason got approval for the 5-year agreement from the Bloomington Board of Public Works yesterday. He said the agreement is aimed at preventing cluttering the public right-of-way with new cellular infrastructure.
Places where they would likely want to co-locate their telecommunications equipment can be things like traffic signals, streetlights, etc. And this is all an effort to keep the right-of-way from being overly cluttered with new poles, new infrastructure to support just these small cell technologies. So,
small cell towers are low-powered radio access nodes. They're the infrastructure through which wireless providers deliver fifth-generation or 5G service. According to Wason, the issue of small cell locations has been on the city's radar for several years.
The legislation at the State House over the last several years has changed in regards to how these things are to be handled, really giving the telecommunication providers a lot more ability to locate their facilities within public rights of way and on public assets.
According to the National Conference of State Legislatures, an Indiana law passed this year allows small cell facilities to be classified as a permitted use in many instances. This means that they're not subject to municipal zoning review. The city's new agreement doesn't just require AT&T to get permission to install new small cell facilities. It also stipulates AT&T cannot increase the size of existing small cell facilities without the city's approval. The wireless provider must also keep a current map and list of locations of all such facilities it installs in the city. In other news, Wason said the intersection of Tap and Rockport Roads should be open within the next couple of weeks. That's providing rain doesn't delay upcoming paving projects. The city has been working on intersection improvements since last year. The intersection will now have a traffic signal as well as left turn lanes for both west and eastbound traffic on Tap Road. Sidewalks have been installed on the south side of Tap Road and both sides of Rockport Road north of Tap. The intersection itself has been realigned slightly to improve sight lanes. In other news, Wason announced the city will be also doing curbside leaf pickup from November 5th through December 21st.
We'll also be doing regular yard waste collection during that time for bagged leaves or bundled sticks, et cetera, like we would with our normal with our yard waste program, and that would operate just as normal as it does throughout the spring and the summer.
Residents can track the city's leaf collection efforts through an online status map. The interactive map is available on the Public Works page of the city's website, bloomington.in.gov.
The electric scooter company Lime is recalling over 2,000 scooters from across the country after the Washington Post blew the whistle on potential dangers. The Post published an article yesterday quoting an engineer from the San Francisco-based firm who says their scooters may be dangerous. The engineer reportedly states that the scooters have a tendency to catch fire or break when under severe strain. Both Lime and another electric scooter company based in San Francisco, Bird, moved to Bloomington earlier this month. Neither company asked for local government permission before dropping off hundreds of the vehicles in Bloomington's downtown. The city of Bloomington has since released guidelines for how the scooters are to be ridden and parked. Those are available on the city's website, bloomington.in.gov.
Up next is our weekly public opinion segment, Voices in the Street.
Welcome to Voices in the Street, WFHB's weekly public opinion feature. Voices in the Street provides an opportunity for people in our community to share their opinions and perspectives on the issues and events that matter most to Bloomington residents.
President Donald Trump recently criticized American domestic policy, wherein if you're born on U.S. soil, you are automatically granted citizenship. Trump says he would like to change the policy, which would require circumventing the 14th Amendment. Voices in the Street ask area listeners about jus soli, or the right to citizenship if someone is born on American soil. If you're born in the United States, should you have automatic citizenship?
Yeah, I was born in Romania, so, and then I was adopted, and then I became a citizen, but I think if you're born from the country you were born in, I think you should be a citizen.
Yeah, I do. It's an American tradition, and this is a country that welcomes people from other places, and so I think they should.
Yes, it's been a principle of our country since the 14th Amendment. So, you know, we're a nation of immigrants, as much of a cliche as that sounds. But, you know, it's really, I think, helped make our country what it is.
Yeah. Yes, I do. Because I see plenty of precedents where I definitely thought Native Americans and African Americans should be granted full citizenship because they were born here. And then that applies to a whole lot of other situations.
Of course. Yes. Because if you live in this country, you deserve to have your opinion and you deserve to have a say in what goes on.
That's an inherent right. There's nothing wrong with that. Who's going to object to that? Yeah, it's enshrined in the Constitution. What else can you say?
If they're a U.S. citizen, they're a U.S. citizen. So yes.
Of course. We're all citizens. We all contribute to the greatness of our nation.
As long as the parents or parent is a U.S. citizen, I don't see a problem with that.
No, because it depends who their parents are.
Then they would be citizens, and yeah, and I hope it stays that way.
I don't see why not. I think it's fair. Yeah, I don't know. I think that gets heavily politicized, but yeah, I think anybody who's born here and has been raised in this culture kind of understands what's going on, whether or not they're originally from our culture or not. It's just,
if the parents are a United States citizen, it will be much easier for the process. So, yeah, if they're born here, I believe so.
Yes, Trump, basically any fascism in the United States. We had a war about this 80 years ago. I haven't liked him my whole life, and it just amazes me that people can look at him and think that he's a rational human being or a good businessman when he's clearly just in it for himself. So, well, you can't do that by an executive order, and people have made that clear, although Lindsey Graham has said he wants to introduce legislation to change that, which, I mean, that's just ridiculous. It's never going to pass. But the bigger problem I have is that he wants to be able to do that. Trump wants to do all these things that are very dictatorial and authoritarian. And while I'm not calling him Hitler, the Nazis didn't start off by killing 17 million people in the concentration camps.
Because they should be considered a naturalized citizen.
This has been Voices in the Street, WFHB's weekly public opinion segment, featuring candid commentary from your friends and neighbors on the issues and events that matter most to Bloomington residents. Voices in the Street is a volunteer-powered production of our News and Public Affairs Department here on WFHB 91.3 and 98.1 FM, community radio for South Central Indiana.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Wes Martin, Annie Aguiar, Gabe Donnelly, Rasha Kamawi, and Andrew McCurran, along with Sarah Vaughn for Cats Week, a partnership with Community Access Television Services. Our feature was produced by Annie Aguiar.
Voices in the Street was produced by Isaac Gonzalez. Our engineer today is Dan Withard. Our theme music is provided by Ben Lumstein, Scott Schmatke, and Danny Graff. Executive producer is Wes Martin. For WFHB, I'm Benedict Jones.
And I'm Carolyn Vandeweel. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, independent daily news program.
Stay tuned for Big Talk with Michael Glab, a WFHB news and public affairs program highlighting the issues, events, and people in South Central Indiana. That's coming up next, right here on WFHB.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB Bloomington Community Radio. Our news is written and reported by volunteers working to provide local news, cover local issues, and strengthen our local community. We invite you to participate. You may submit questions, comments, and story ideas to news@wfhb.org. You can become a Daily Local News volunteer by attending new volunteer orientation. You can find an archive of past shows and individual news reports online at WFHB.org and catch live broadcast of the Daily Local News Monday through Thursday at 5 p.m. We are local, longer.